This week, I felt led to talk to you about being a disciple of Jesus Christ as an American patriot. Now, these two symbols behind me, the cross and the American flag, have been the two most powerful symbols of influence in my life. The flag, the symbol of our nation, our freedom, justice, the courage and sacrifice of many Americans who have given their lives in defense of this nation. I come from a military family. I served as well. I love my country and I love our flag. The cross, the symbol of our faith, the symbol of God's love, His mercy and His grace, Jesus dying on the cross to save me and all of us from our sins. The cross made me into the man I am today. These two symbols have had the greatest effect on me and my life. Now, how do we as believers in Jesus Christ walk the line between being disciples of Jesus Christ and American patriots? Today, our country is more divided than ever. Political lines, social lines, ethnic lines, religious lines. In the news today, it's sad to say, but we're seeing Americans screaming at one another. I'm seeing some Americans say and write online that they hope other Americans will die because they're simply on the other side of a political or social issue. It's becoming insane out there. America is changing, and it's now changing for the better. For many Americans like myself, we believe that our freedoms and constitutional rights as Americans are starting to be impeded. Now, as believers in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that our lives have been given over to our Lord. In that aspect, we surrender all our rights to Him to fulfill His will. We have no right to demand anything from God. He is our Lord. That means master. We are His purchased possessions. And in His sovereign plan for our lives, we put our trust in Him completely. And if we are required to sacrifice all that we have, all that we are, or even our lives for the name of Christ, for the cause of Christ, so be it. But at the same time, we are blessed to be American citizens. Many of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world do not have the freedoms we enjoy in this country. We have the freedom of religion, the free exercise of our faith. The U.S. Constitution is the law of the land. I'd like to read from it this morning. We'll start with the preamble of the United States Constitution. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. The Constitution is the law of the land. Every elected official swears an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I spent most of my adult life serving under that oath, the oath to defend the Constitution, as I served first in the United States Marine Corps and then as an officer and chaplain in the United States Army Reserve. As an American patriot, I understand the importance of the Constitution. For in this document, our national government, our rights as U.S. citizens, is established. The first of our guaranteed rights in the Constitution is listed in the First Amendment. I'd like to read that. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, first, I have to say this. Our nation was not established as a Christian nation. There was no state religion established. John Adams stated, "The United States is not a Christian nation." Our nation was established under freedom of religion, freedom to believe or not to believe. But just because our founding fathers did not create a state religion, does not mean they hated or opposed religion. They did not oppose the faith of Christianity at all. Rather, they embraced it. And the Christian faith greatly influenced the forming of our nation, our Constitution. No one can logically argue that fact. All one has to do is travel to Washington, D.C., look at the historical buildings and monuments, and see all the engraved inscriptions of Bible verses on them. Or go to the chamber of the House of Representatives and see the portrait of Moses right there in the middle. Our Constitution secures the freedom of people of faith in this country. And our founding fathers fully supported people of faith. John Adams also said this: "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." This statement shows that the foundation, the core beliefs that make the Constitution of the United States such a powerful document, is the belief in a higher power, in our Creator, in God. God who has given humanity freedom, freedom to believe or not to believe. And no one can take that away from another person, since it is God-given. The Constitution and our founding fathers believed in a moral standard higher than themselves, higher than humanity, a transcended moral standard that is God Himself. And the standard to practice one's faith is one of the most sacred. Thomas Jefferson stated, "The constitutional freedom of religion is the most inalienable and sacred of all human rights." Inalienable means unable to be taken away, since it is God-given. John Adams, the one I quoted earlier for saying the United States was not established as a Christian nation, also said this about Christianity: "The Christian religion is, above all the religions that have ever prevailed or existed in ancient or modern times, the religion of wisdom, virtue, equity, and humanity. Let the blackguard Paine say what he will. It is the resignation to God. It is goodness itself to man." That blackguard Paine is a reference to Thomas Paine, the author of Common Sense. He was not favorable to Christianity at all. He was an atheist. But you see that the founding fathers believed and established this new country on the principles of being a religious people, but more precisely, a Christian people. Let's go to the First Amendment. "Congress shall make no law respecting or establishing of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press." The next right documented was the freedom of speech and of the press. But today, through the powers that be, the American people are starting to see speech censored. The press, for many in this country, believe the press has become corrupted, only telling one side of the story. A good example of this is this pandemic we're in. Now, I believe much is going on, much more than just a medical crisis. Whether this pandemic was an accident or intentional, I believe there are forces out there using this crisis to push agendas that are in conflict with our Constitution and our rights as U.S. citizens. As Americans, we deserve to hear all sides of an issue, not just what the government or some media official decides. A good example of this is a short documentary film called Plandemic. Now, this is a film that was released just a few days ago, this last week. You can go to this website, plandemicmovie.com, and view it for yourself. Now, at first, this was posted to YouTube, and YouTube removed it. But then it got inundated with people uploading it. So there's still versions of this video on YouTube you can watch as well. Now, this video tells the story of Dr. Judy Mikovits. And if you listen to the mainstream media, they trash this lady. Nothing good to say about her. And now, just in the last few days, There are multiple new videos on YouTube attacking her. Again, in every issue, there is two sides of the story. I listened to this lady. To me, she came across very credible. The other side is made up of powerful elites, big business, along with big government. Of the two sides in this debate, in this documentary, the one side, because there is so much money and power on the line, which side do you believe is telling the truth? Which side has a good reason to lie? But the point here is really this. As Americans, we have the right to hear both sides and to make up our own minds, not have some government official who thinks we are not smart enough, and they make up our mind for us. I challenge you to listen to this lady. Judge for yourself if she is right or wrong. Judge for yourself what the other doctors in the video are saying. But it comes down to this. I hope I'm going to say his name correctly. Maximilian Robespierre. The secret of freedom lies in educating people, whereas the secret of tyranny is in keeping them ignorant. Educating the people. Education looks at all sides, all facts. But looking at only one side or only getting one side is not education, it's indoctrination. Again, in this pandemic, there are good doctors and scientists on both sides. As Americans, we have the right to hear all sides, not to have certain views censored, removed, or attacked. Let's go back to the First Amendment. Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. The next right established in the First Amendment was the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition, to protest their grievances with our government leaders. Now, during this pandemic, there have been multiple protests erupting around the country. Many Americans are beginning to feel their rights are being trampled upon by some in the government. In some of these protests, Americans have shown up bearing arms, weapons. Now, is that really needed? I don't think so. These guys in their tactical gear and rifles are only being used to paint most American patriots in a bad light. But on the other hand, the U.S. Constitution in the Second Amendment guarantees American citizens the right to bear arms. And the Second Amendment is not about hunting. Let me say that again. The Second Amendment is not about hunting. The right to bear arms is in the Constitution solely for the reason of citizens defending themselves. And not only defending themselves from criminals, but from a government that might try to take away their constitutional rights. George Washington stated, "A free people ought not only to be armed and disciplined, but they should have sufficient arms and ammunition to maintain a status of independence from any who might attempt to abuse them, which would include their own government." He also said this, "When government takes away citizens' rights to bear arms, it becomes citizens' duty to take away government's right to govern." Thomas Jefferson said, "What country can preserve its liberties if its rulers are not warned from time to time that their people preserve this spirit of resistance? Let them take arms." The Second Amendment is to protect our constitutional rights against anyone who would take them away, to include our own government. Exactly what our founding fathers did against their government at that time, the British government. And today, many Americans are seeing this pandemic, accident or deliberate, as a catalyst for tyranny. A good excuse for some to push political and social agendas. And some of those agendas are unconstitutional. And the measures some are using under the banner of public safety are trampling our constitutional rights as Americans to work and provide for our families, to exercise the right to assemble, especially in our churches. Now, tyranny is real. It happens all over the world. And our country is not above tyranny. Our founding fathers were very clear on how they viewed tyranny. James Madison said, "Oppressors can tyrannize only when they achieve a standing army, an enslaved press, and a disarmed populace." He also said, "If tyranny and oppression comes to this land, it will be in the guise of fighting a foreign enemy. Today, it's the invisible enemy." I like that he used the word guise. Guise is defined as a manner of presenting a topic, typically concealing the true nature of the topic. You see, the powers that be will create such a fear among the people of an enemy that the citizens will be so scared and fearful, they'll gladly give up their rights in order to be safe, to have security. John Adams stated, "But a constitution of government, once changed from freedom, can never be restored. Liberty once lost is lost forever." So there is no doubt why many Americans are concerned with what they are seeing around them. Thomas Jefferson also said, "Tyranny is defined as that which is legal for the government, but illegal for the citizenry." Right now, some of our governors, mayors, throughout the land, seem to be drunk with power. Under their executive orders, constitutional rights are being trampled. They are being suspended. Now, to be clear and to be honest, there is precedence established by the United States Supreme Court over 100 years ago that in times of crisis, the government has the ability to temporarily suspend personal rights in order to deal with the crisis. But for how long was never addressed. And that precedence was in context of a government operating with integrity and for the good of the people. That is what some are questioning today. Is that what our government is actually doing in this pandemic? Are they operating with integrity? How many of you feel our government leaders lead or are people of integrity? Let's go back to the First Amendment. We see our rights here very clearly established. It is clear as American citizens we have rights that are being suspended at this point in this pandemic of coronavirus. Will they be restored when the crisis is over? Or by the time this crisis is over, will we be living in an America that we no longer recognize? This is the fear of some. And it might be a justified fear, as I will show in Scripture in a few minutes. But first, there are things happening in this country that I would never have believed could happen. Let me show you a few. Right now, our government, in many different states, counties, are releasing criminals from the jails, from the prisons, because they don't want them to spread and catch the coronavirus. But at the same time, they're locking up law-abiding citizens for not obeying the stay-at-home orders. Does that make any sense to anyone? Letting these and the pictures that you see in front of you right now are ones that were released here in California, and these are all sex offenders. And the salon owner from Texas, everyone probably knows the story by now, she was locked up. Why put her in prison where she might catch the coronavirus when they release these sex offenders. Many of these criminals released have committed more crimes. What we're seeing in our country is people being arrested by going to parks, beaches. And some of these that were arrested were social distancing at the time. But it didn't matter. They were out of their homes, and the powers to be didn't like that. Let me ask you a question. Why are liquor stores open? Why are cannabis stores open? Why are the abortion clinics open? What we are seeing in America is not America. Let's look at our churches, where we have from the Constitution the free exercise of religion guaranteed to us as U.S. citizens. But what we have seen, like this headline, Massachusetts pastor faces $300 fine for service in which members wore face masks and gloves. They were taking the exact same precautions that we see in the stores. They weren't doing anything that was going to put people at risk. If we can go to Walmart, and I've been to Walmart several times during this pandemic, most are not even wearing masks or gloves. Why can't we not go to church if we take safety precautions? In our church, we can limit the number, let's say, to 50 people per service. We have a sanctuary that can sit 300. That means we could spread everybody out 6 feet or even more. We could require everyone to wear a mask. We have the sanitizer there. It's just as safe as going to Walmart. I would say safer than going to Walmart. Like I said, right now, liquor stores are open. Cannabis stores are open. Walmart, I've been to the grocery store. Most people are not wearing masks there either. But they're not being shut down. They're not being denied that people can go in there and basically assemble buying goods. Right now, our church could safely meet and be more safe than going to the grocery store. But we are told the churches are not essential at this point. But liquor stores, cannabis stores, and abortion clinics are. Who gets to decide what is essential and what is not essential? On what basis has the powers that be decided what is essential and what is not essential? Here's another headline. Kansas City mayor defends Nazi-like policy registering people attending church. So here we go again. A church, and I forget how many, it wasn't a big group of people who came to this church. They were taking all the safety precautions, and the police registered everybody, took their license plate number, and were tracking these people who left the service. Then the mayor defends this. They're not tracking the people who go to the liquor stores, the cannabis stores, the grocery stores. Another headline. Vice President Pence, beyond the pale for Virginia to sanction church for holding a small service. Here, I think it was 16 members of the church got together. Again, this sanctuary holds a couple hundred people. So 16 people can easily spread out, social distance themselves, wear masks, and be completely safe as going to Walmart. But again, it was shut down. Now here is the thin line where we as American patriots, who are also believers in Jesus Christ, must walk. As believers, we are willing to surrender all our rights to God Himself for the fulfilling of His plan for us. But does that necessarily mean we have to surrender all our rights to our government? True American patriots would never surrender their rights to the government. Remember, the Constitution is the law of the land, not what government officials order. Right now in this crisis situation, I believe the church is essential. And we can be safer conducting church than going to the grocery store, going to Walmart, the liquor store, or the cannabis store. Now, to be clear, we don't have to meet in our building to be the church. We are always the church. I like what Tozer once said. He said, if you burn down the church building and drive away all the people, you have not disturbed Christian worship at all. Keep a Christian from entering the church sanctuary, and you have not in the least bit hindered his worship. We carry our sanctuary with us. We never leave it. We will always worship God in spirit and truth. And the true worship is not just the singing of songs, much more than that. It is the serving and living our lives for Jesus Christ. Even now, though, we are banned from meeting together. We're still the church. We are still serving our Lord. We're still preaching the Word of God. We're still sharing the gospel. But at this time, our doors are closed to the general public. We're not open for anyone to come in and discover the truth of God for themselves. And our governor here in California, he has said that it might be 3 to 6 months before phase 3 of the reopening plan that allows churches to reopen fully. Maybe even longer than 3 to 6 months. Now, here in Shasta County yesterday, the board asked Governor Newsom if we here in Shasta County can enter phase 2 completely. And they wanted the faith community to be able to open up to a small extent, 15 people or less. I don't know about many churches, but it's going to be kind of hard to hold services for 15 people and get everyone in the church that wants to come to the service taken care of. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are told in Scripture to obey the laws of the land, to honor our government leaders, to be good citizens. But where is the line in the sand between being a good citizen and being a citizen that is being trampled on by our government? And many of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world are not in nations where they have any rights. But that is not us at this point. When should we as American Christians and as American patriots stand up for our constitutional rights that God has so graciously blessed us with in this nation? When do we open our doors to those who are hurting, lost, and seeking hope in our community? When does the church become essential again? We have been good citizens up until this point. When President Trump asked for 15 days, we complied. When it got extended by the governors, we complied. We have complied for going on 9 weeks now. But now they're saying 3 to 6 more months, maybe even longer. When do we get back to complying to what God has commanded us, that we do not forsake the assembling together? I believe we have sufficient justification to consider reopening, even if the stay-at-home order is not lifted. My justification is not only based on our constitutional rights as Americans, but my understanding of Scripture and what it warns us will be happening near the end of days. I want to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll begin with verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him. We talked about this passage a couple sermons ago, the rapture of the church. We ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. We also talked about what that means, the day of Christ, the end times. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who imposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, every good word and work. Now, We've covered this passage a couple sermons ago, if you want to go back and listen to this passage, this part, more in depth. But here's what I want to point out. The Bible tells us that in the end, a man will arise. He'll arise in a very troubled world. This man is going to have the answer to all the world's problems. This is the Antichrist. He will lead the world into deeper rebellion against God. Now, let's continue reading in that chapter, verse 5. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Even before the end begins, even before the rise of the Antichrist, Satan, the power behind the Antichrist, is already at work. He's already setting up the plan, putting the pieces together. He's already at work right now. Many things are happening today that we are told will be taking place during the end times under the Antichrist. I'm going to get back to this in a second. We'll return to this thought, this understanding here in a moment. But let's keep reading. Verse 11. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. And there's the core. That's what we're all about. Those that God has called, those that we are called to share the truth with so they can be saved. They can enter sanctification by the Holy Spirit. They can understand and believe in the truth. That is what the church is meant to do during these days, as Satan is already working, already deceiving people. Verse 14, to which he called you by our gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by epistles. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope and by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work, word and work. Stand fast as the church. We're to do our calling as the church until the day of Christ comes for us in the rapture. Before the Antichrist comes on the scene, very important that we are putting our full effort into being the church before the end, before we're taken out. Now let's go back to verse 7. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed. He who is now restrains, this is the Holy Spirit. And the Greek here doesn't say that he is removed from the earth, but right now the Holy Spirit, through just his presence and through the church of Jesus Christ, evil is restrained to a certain point. Now, evil still flourishes, but at a moment when the end time begins, the Holy Spirit will remove that restraint. Evil will be able to flourish. You think it's evil now? You wait till then. It says Satan is already preparing the way for his Antichrist, already setting up the systems that will need to be in place for the Antichrist to rule the world. Satan is using all sorts of things to prepare people for following the Antichrist when he arrives. I want to show you a few. I'm going to name things that are in Scripture that the Scriptures tell us will be in place during the end times under the Antichrist, that we are starting to see fall into place, start to happen right now, today. The first one is global citizenship versus nationalism. Now, there's a website, globalcitizen.org. Here, the World Health Organization and many others are calling for us, especially during this pandemic, to come together. You see, and there's many people who believe this in our country, that nationalism is what causes all the pain and suffering in the world. Nationalism causes all the wars. Being patriotic about one's country is a bad thing. We need to see ourselves no longer as nationalists, but as globalists. We're a global citizen, a one world people. Well, that's what the Bible talks about in the end. A one world government, people that are global citizens, because one government under the Antichrist can control everybody. And we see this happening right now. There's a call for this. People in our own country are calling themselves global citizens rather than Americans. Now, the next thing that we see taking place around us that we know will be in the end is the coming together of all religions. The Bible talks about a one world religion where all the religions come together because they're all true. They're all equal path to God. Now, here, a couple of years ago, and this has been in place for a while, but it's getting more and more of steam behind it. Pope urges all religions to unite for peace and justice. And here's the guys. They always present these things as, well, let's do it for peace. Let's do it for justice. That all religions come together. They all get along. They all basically admit that they're all good and they're all true. And you can just, we can just be one big happy family. But we can't do that as believers in Jesus Christ because there's only one way. Jesus said it himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes on the Father but through me. If you do not repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ, then your religion is vain. It's useless. We've all seen these symbols. You also see on bumper stickers on cars, coexist and tolerance and all these things where they take the symbols of all the different religions and beliefs out there and they group them together here in a peace symbol because they can all get along. They have to put their doctrines away. It's better, it's more about love and peace. It's not about truth. And here we can all just get along and we can all just be one big happy family. We're starting to see this take place. The next thing is global markets, where there's no currency, cashless society. The Bible tells us that's the way it'll be in the end. In this pandemic, some stores banned cash altogether. They didn't want the cash. People are calling for the end of cash due to the contamination of viruses. But today, already most of us don't use cash. We use our credit cards, debit cards, or our phones. We've gone pretty much digital already, no cash. And that's where everything is leading, to cashless societies. Digital, easy, it's the reality of today. No longer cash, but just digital numbers. They've even shown where you not only use your phone, but now these smartwatches. You just scan your phone or your watch over and boom, you've paid for your goods and you can go your way. This is very close. And there's even now people pushing for something that even a little more concerning, which is microchips. Now, this is technology that's been around for a while, but where you can have a chip implanted and you can pay with this chip. All you do is scan your hand. And then your money is deducted from your account. Now, this chip in the hand leads into the very next issue. Global identification of all people. Now, the Bible tells us there's a mark coming. It's called the mark of the beast. Without the mark, you cannot sell, buy, or travel. Today in this pandemic, they are saying that everyone in the world must receive the vaccine to this coronavirus. The only way to track who is vaccinated is to somehow digitally chip people, or some way of digital electronic, either tattooing, they're talking about skin tattooing, or a digital chip, or a skin tattoo, they call it skin electronics. It's like a Band-Aid that fits on you, but you can't really get it off your skin, to track people who have been vaccinated. Now, a mark that will allow you to travel, go into stores to buy. Now, only those who have been vaccinated will be able to do this. There's already talk that passports will not be enough to travel after this pandemic. You must be vaccinated as well. But how can the system verify you've been vaccinated? Well, papers can be forged. Only a chip-like device from the manufacturer of the vaccine can prove a person is safe to travel or to enter into the public, a public place like a store. Now, Bill Gates has already been pushing such an ID system with his ID 2020. So, I'm not going to go real deep into this, but what this plan is through Bill Gates is not only to vaccinate everybody, but then to give them some sort of identification, digital ID, that they have been vaccinated. But here, everyone who gets the vaccination, and like they said, they want the whole world to, then we have a global mark that might be used in the future as the mark of the Antichrist. It's possible. But this system, this ID 20, really seems to fit with what the Bible says the Antichrist will do in the end. Now, the difference between just a simple mark today and a mark in the last seven years is that those who receive this mark, whatever it may be, they understand it's an allegiance to the Antichrist. And that's what makes it the mark of the beast. But what we're seeing today might be the system he uses for his mark. Let's go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. It's already working right now. Satan is alive and well and working and putting his plan into getting it to be ready for the Antichrist. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. So the Holy Spirit is taken, the church is taken. But until then, we are called to make our stand, to stand fast. This pandemic, accident or intentional, is it as dangerous as they are saying? Or is this some sort of guise for us to accept these agendas, to accept vaccinations and marks? There's good scientists and doctors on both sides of this debate right now. All you have to do is go research. Now, I know I'll probably be mocked and attacked, but I've done my research. There are scientists and good doctors and scientists on both sides, and they're saying the exact opposite thing. But the media powers are trying to silence one side. It's the side that's saying the virus is not as bad as they are trying to make it. And if they can't shut the other side up, they attack them and shame them in the public arena. We've experienced this already. If you don't wear a mask, you are selfish and you're going to kill somebody. That's why the lady in Texas went to jail. Even though she was wearing a mask in her business and she was following social distance guidelines, because she dared defy the government and open up her private business so that her and her employees can feed their families, they said she was selfish. And the judge said She didn't have to go to jail if she would just apologize for being selfish. And she wouldn't apologize. Good for her. When did it become selfish to want to work and feed your family? Today, if you question the government or the powers that be, you're a nut job. You're a conspiracy freak. You're anti-science. The hatred being stoked by the media for the other side is incredible. Why can't there be honest debate and discussion of all the facts? Instead of attacking and maligning the other side, why can't the facts just be discussed? Well, that's easy to answer. Deception depends on the facts not being discussed, not being uncovered. Now, to be honest, I'm fed up with the media, the government, all the contradicting facts from both sides. But I'll be honest as well, I do have more faith in the side that doesn't seem to have a reason to lie. The government, the powerful media, the corporations out there, the liberal agenda groups, they have motives to lie. There's big money on the line. There's power on the line. There's control on the line. There's agendas on the line. So will our church be reopening soon? Are we going to stand fast for the cause of Christ in these dark days? Scripture tells us Satan is already at work. Will the Church of Jesus Christ just sit on the sidelines? I and the board members are praying about this. I ask you to join us in prayer for wisdom. As soon as God reveals His will to us, we will let you know. But as Christians, as disciples of Jesus Christ, as American patriots, we have a fine line to walk here. God comes first. Our rights come second. But if we give up our rights as American citizens, will we be able to fully obey God as the church? Will we be fully able to reach the lost, those that are hurting, those that are seeking for help? Will we be doing everything we are called to do as the church? Maybe in the end, our leaders will wise up and restore all constitutional rights. But if they don't, should we continue to obey man's law or God's law? But until the decision is made, we remain the church. I ask you to continue to seek the Lord in prayer and in Bible study. Continue to reach out to those who are lost. Share our church videos with people. Pray for them and continue to keep your eyes on the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know this message that you laid on my heart. To some it can seem controversial. Some it may offend. Lord, it's not meant to do either one. Is just looking at the reality, the truth of what is happening. Lord, we look to you. We know that the lawless one, the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. We see that he is already preparing for the end. The church needs to be doing their job. The cause, the Great Commission. We don't need to be sitting on the sidelines. We don't need to be sitting on the sidelines and muffled. Lord, we need your wisdom. We want to be good citizens, but before being good citizens, we want to be good disciples. We need to know, Lord, when is the time for us to obey you, than our government officials. Lord, I ask you to give us wisdom in that. And I ask you, Lord, to continue to encourage your people that you are in control of all things. And nothing that's happening has surprised you in the least. We just need to trust in you and be obedient to what your word tells us to do. And then that day, that blessed day where you come for us. But until that day, Lord, I ask you to help us to stand fast as the church. Stand fast in love and in truth. Lord, we don't want to attack anybody. We don't want to defy our government. But Lord, if we're coming to a decision where we must make a stand, I ask you to reveal that to us and guide us in every step. Not for us to make a point, but for us to serve our Lord and Savior. To open the church back up to those who are lost and hurting. To be the shelter in the storm in these dark days. Continue to help us, Lord, to seek you, to stay encouraged in you, to stay focused on you. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.